Welcome to another edition of the Brain Injury Radio Network, sponsored by TBILaw.com. For automatic reminders about this radio show and other great survivor events, sign up now for TBIFM.org.
When Attorney Gordon Johnson speaks about recovery, he isn't talking about the amount of money a survivor gets from a lawsuit or settlement. He is talking about getting better from the brain injury. Find him on the web at TBIGore.com or call 800-992-9447.
Welcome to WTF, Where's the Focus? On the Brain Injury Network with your host, Kevin Phillips.
Good evening, everybody. It is February 15th, 2013. What a great night tonight. We have a day after Valentine's Day. We had an interesting day for those of you that are fortunate enough to be listening to us. I mean, it was a spectacular day. And I just want to remind everybody that's listening, whether this be live or at a recording, hey, you are should be proud of yourself and excited about tonight's show. We've got a wonderful topic about love. That's one of the big things that in today's world that seems to be a great topic of focus. And what is it? And especially for those people with traumatic brain injuries that may have, as a result of their TBIs, lost or relationships or family members as a result of their TBI. There is good news, and we're going to be talking about that on tonight's show, but I wanted to, first of all, thank everybody for joining us. We have the marvelous Maggie on the manning the chat room for us tonight, and so questions and comments can be directed to her online. Join the discussion. You know, there's other people, brain injury thrivers, and I use that term specifically because that's what we're here doing. If you're, you know, listening to this, I want to commend you because you have the opportunity after the end of the show to change your perception on not only yourself but how you're going to proceed. And that's what the WTF show is all about here on Brain Injury Radio. And we are proud to have a sponsor, TBI Law Group. Gordon Johnson is our fabulous sponsor, and I want to thank him once again for continuing to support our efforts here in increasing brain injury awareness. We have a great week full of hosts, traumatic brain injury thrivers, who are sharing their insights and information and experiences. And so that's what I'm here to do is I'm nothing, while I have been to school and I have experienced a lot, currently I have no higher educational degree, but I do have a wealth of knowledge and experience, and as those of you that know, Maggie has been a rehabilitation counselor. She has achieved her master's degree as a rehabilitation counselor and did that for about 15 years before we met, and she has helped me get to this point, so I'm forever grateful for her experience and also her patience. So we are going to be talking about love after a TBI. One of the things that we have to, you know, a lot of people, a lot of different perceptions on love. You know, we use that term love in such a diverse and way, sometimes with giving it meaning, where that term love is meaningless, like I love cake. That's not as meaningful as I love my daughter, or as meaningful as I love my mother. You know, we have this perception that love has different degrees. You know, we don't love jumping out of a perfectly good airplane as much as we might love taking a nap on a beautiful summer day, you know, out in the park. All these things are just our interpretation of this word love. So what I want to remind listeners of is that it was Albert Einstein that said, everything only has the meaning in which we give it. And as we have entered this world with a traumatic brain injury, and even if you don't have a traumatic brain injury, this is applicable to you as well. But our definition, our perception of what love is based off of our experience, of what we have been exposed to. For women who have been in relationships where domestic violence has been a predominant thing, their concept of love is, a slap around or two. But he doesn't mean to. No, it's just he doesn't know how to manage that. And to some extent, she's right. But on the flip side, there are times where women got to, kind of take the higher of the two roads, and it's not always easy, as with life with a traumatic brain injury. But to bring this around to relationships, speaking from personal experience, not only I was involved in a relationship for almost 10 years, to a wonderful woman, still amazing to this day, who helped me and was a key and essential part in getting me where I am today. One of the last things that I remember her sharing with me was, despite the fact that she can no longer deal with my TBI, and a lot of people say, oh, I'm sorry that, you got divorced. Other people will make comments, 90% of people with traumatic brain injuries, if they're in a marriage, it ends in divorce. And this comes from a guy who was in a marriage prior to his incident that happened, 13 years ago? So it really was a testimony to the ignorance of some of the stuff that we can perpetuate. 13 years after his TBI, this guy has the, conditioned belief or perception to perpetuate something that's undesired. Who wants to get divorced? I'm sure those that are in unhealthy relationships might be raising their hands, but, the funny thing about that is that it's just their perception. They're in a wonderful relationship. But what was unique is that we realized that, I don't know what to do with this, but I know we can do better. And that's what really impressed me about Tamara, my former bride of almost 10 years, is that she recognized not necessarily her limitations, but what, she wanted to do. And I commend her for that. And as a result, I was able to link up with the marvelous Maggie and get to this point of not only having a better perception of the meaning of the words that we use in thought and speech, but also specifically this word that gets tossed around so flagrantly, cavalier, love. I have a 14-year-old daughter right now, and she's been expressed an interest in boys and shared that boys have expressed an interest in her. And so being a father, I have to think of, what kind of example of love am I setting for her? And that's one of the wonderful things about my relationship with her mother, even though, we've parted ways years ago and had gone through our trials and tribulations, if you will, we've come to an understanding. And I think what it really boiled down to was not necessarily anything that she had to change, but more so of the perception that I had of her. And so I want to encourage people that are listening, it's like, hey, there's always going to be somebody that says something that can offend you. But understand this, to be anything, we are the only ones that can decide. So with people with traumatic brain injuries, it can be an extremely challenging thing to recall to do. Sidebar here, For those listening, I want to invite them to call in when we get to this point, 424-243-9540, because we're going to talk about, I want to hear your thoughts about your perception on the meaning of the word love that you have, what you thought it was before your TBI, what it has evolved into since your TBI, because that is the most important thing here, is we can do one of two things. We can focus on our past, or we can focus on what it is we want for our future. And while it is okay to look at our past as a reference point, spending much more time than that is nothing more than a waste of time and a choice. Once you get to that understanding that you're seeking from your past, it's time to move on. And if you're not able to move on, that's a point of recognition. There are many times that myself, when I looked at how promptly I was able to, when my bride Tamara said, "Hey, you know, I can't deal with this anymore." What inspired me and helped me get past that typical remorse point, there's, I think, the 12 stages of grief. The first one is denial, and then there's the other ones. But what was unique about, even though I was with Tamara for almost 10 years, the transition, I didn't have to endure that. I mean, there have been, I had heard sayings that it takes a year, how is it, like a year for every 2 years you were together in a relationship to get over it. So for folks in a 10-year relationship, based off of that line of thinking, it would take them another 5 years before they're theoretically ready for another relationship. Understanding the rules of the universe and energy flows where attention goes, and we are conditioned beings with or without a traumatic brain injury. What makes it so challenging for folks with brain injuries is that we have severed those lines of communication within our brains, and what we experience are misfires. Learning to manage those misfires is kind of what a lot of people misperceive, and that's the one of the reasons why I feel so honored to be here sharing my experiences on Brain Injury Radio, so that other people can learn from this and say, "Hey, I'm not alone. That happened to me, and maybe what I have might really be a brain injury, not ADD or I'm lazy or, you know, any other kind of comments that we with brain injuries might get, to include, you look normal, you know, what's wrong with you? My simply put, my processor doesn't work properly." But so if you're listening to this, I want to encourage you. Hang in there. I mean, it does get better. It can get better. And I am, coming up here on 4 years of using a natural medication that has allowed me to come to this understanding as opposed to pharmaceuticals. Backtrack to the point of topic here, the love and the meaning of this word love and relationships is, you know, since I had departed from my long-term relationship with Tamara, when I had met with Maggie, my focus was she had a level of understanding that I hadn't with my brain injury, as well as how I could, for a better lack of terms, fix it. And a lot of people with brain injuries think, well, okay, I can't fix your brain. I can't fix it. And you are absolutely spot on. I can't fix my brain injury. There's nothing I can do. And there's obviously no current medical surgeon that can, you know, do that. Why? Because we have yet come to that level of understanding. Fortunately, at the rate we are progressing, that is something that, you know, we can at least curtail. In the meantime, my point of having WTF, Where's the Focus, radio show, is to help people come to a greater understanding of life with a traumatic brain injury and how to create a functional life with an emphasis on the F-U-N part of that. Because just because we have a brain injury, just because we may, relationships might change or our employment status might change, for me, it was no employment. I was told that I was not able to gain traditional employment because of my brain injury, and I got to thinking about that, and I said, well, that makes sense, because if I snap on an employer, how long is that going to, you know, last, even if, you know, they do understand I have a traumatic brain injury? And so I had to find a way to create something for myself. And just out of conditioned responses, you know, my wife said, hey, do this. And I did. I built up a company. But as a result of that, my definition of love, I went from my love for the relationship to my love for creating a purpose for myself, because I had not had anything. Once I was medically retired from the Marine Corps, you know, my friends, my fellow Marines, they, you know, got PCS'd, or, you know, and I moved up to Washington State. Everything changed, and life with a brain injury will change, but it's going to change with or without a brain injury. It's just a matter of how are you going to modify yourself as well as your perceptions to create that fun in the functional part of the life. I had hundreds of relationships and friendships. Tamara and we were out every weekend with our friends and family when we moved back to Minnesota. We were always doing something. But after my brain injury, and it was it wasn't the same. I had met her family prior to my brain injury and had developed a good relationship with them. But subsequently, after my brain injury, you know, and moving out there, you know, they got to see me, and instead of realizing, hey, this might have something to do with his brain injury, they just figured, my God, who did my daughter marry? But it's funny now, because they now realize, hey, it was bigger than that. And so I want to encourage listeners, you know, hey, those little changes in your behaviors, those changes in your responses, log that information. That's one of the biggest biggest things I would have to encourage people to do, is document your experiences with your brain injury. Have somebody, you know, your partner, if you're fortunate enough to get somebody to be around you, as I have been with Maggie, you know, help you keep log of that kind of stuff. Because what you'll be able to do is see a progress, a pattern. And if you see a pattern developing, then at that point, that's when you're able to make those changes. So when it comes to relationships, it's no different. I mean, our definition of love will vary. From prior to my TBI, my definition of love would vary depending upon the topic. Sometimes I would love a show, but I would use that same word with, you know, oh, I'd love to go skateboarding, or I love to surf, or I love to scuba dive, or heck, I love skydiving. But because I love skydiving so much, it brought me to a point where not only was I not able to do that anymore, but I had to change my focus, my field of fire, if you will, as a service member, military. We have, when we go to out in the field and do our exercises, we have a thing called a field of fire, and that's our range of direction of what we're looking at, our perception. And relatable to a traumatic brain injury, when we have those misfires or when we perceive something as, albeit love, albeit jealousy, or sadness, or fear, or uncertainty, these are our perceptions. And then when we recognize that we're seeing something this way, that's our opportunity to go, okay, is this really true? Is this how I should be seeing this? While it's certainly that opportunity, we have a thing called free will. Understanding in this world of dichotomies that we live in, also known as opposite, we have the ability to choose to either believe in a lie or remember what we know. And we know we couldn't know what love is if we were not love. I mean, our definition might change, but that's called love. That's called evolution, excuse me. You know, I look at my daughter, and, you know, when she was little, I say, I love you, sweetheart. And she'd be like, I love you, Daddy. But, you know, once she got interested in boys, and I say, I love you, sweetheart. Yeah, I love you too, Dad. It's not the same. The words might be the same, but the context and certainly the tone is completely different, you know. I'm curious, you know, and invite listeners to call in and you know, we're talking about love and our meaning, our perception of that word love, both before traumatic brain injury as well as after, and how has it had an impact on your progress as a TBI thriver. You know, we can't, we can't change the fact that we got a TBI. We can change how we're going to proceed. So I want to invite listeners to call in at 424-243-9540. We're talking about love after a TBI. I got somebody here. I recognize it. She's got her hand up. She's had it up for about 15 minutes now. So I want to thank you very much for holding on the line so long. Is this Jennifer?
Yes, this is just Jenny.
Just Jenny. How are we doing there tonight, Jenny?
I am doing absolutely great. My mind is on fire. Instead of being sluggish where I hit the mental wall where I just collapsed and I couldn't think or see or do anything, my mind is just racing and racing and racing and brainstorming.
Right. That's good.
I loved your topic and your concept tonight, which is love before and after a TBI.
Mm-hmm.
Before my traumatic brain injury, I picked men that I immediately had an instant physical attraction to without knowing who the person was behind the mask.
Mm-hmm.
And once I finally realized who that person was, I realized we had nothing in common. It was already too late because you're already in too deep. And it was stagnant, and it was killing my spirit, and it destroyed me.
Right.
And after my TBI, I've decided that because I have the mind of a child, I'm very into romantic and very innocent thoughts about trusting and loving people.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought forever, I'm looking for truly my happily ever after, where I'm sitting on a porch in a rocking chair next to my old happily ever love, Gum and I, whatever, looking down the road and sharing the memories of whatever happened in that happily ever after past. Somebody that has something in common with me. And I have found that, I'm hoping, since my traumatic brain injury. I met somebody online, which I don't normally do. I was talked into. And before I went ahead and quit, because I was getting ready to quit, I saw this profile of this perfect person with his full name, and he described exactly what I was looking for, old-fashioned, is a parent who loves his children and his family. I'm so trusting this man. I've only had one physical date with him, and it was only supposed to be maybe 30 minutes or an hour, and it lasted almost 6 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And had three small, innocent kisses because he knew I was very scared and this was always new to me. And this was back on December 5th of 2012. But
okay.
We now talk probably 4 to 5 times a week. And we talk about anything and everything. And he also has a disability. He has diabetes, and he's had it since he was a child. So he's very aware of what limitations and what to watch for. He's very respectful of my limitations and cheers me on every time I get further and further along.
Well, we all need a cheerleader. Excuse me, I apologize. Sorry about that, folks. I was taking a dose of medication there, and it caught up to me. What Jenny said about Sharon, thank you so much for sharing that. I mean, having somebody as a, you mentioned the word cheering you on, and that is very awesome to have. I mean, Maggie has been an amazing cheerleader for me over the past 4.5 years, and as well as all the people on my Facebook page who know that I have a traumatic brain injury and creating the groups of My TBI Life. Even my daughter, seeing her, having her around has been extremely helpful and an inspiration. And, it's nice to have those folks around us that, you know, can remind us, hey, you know, when we're having our misfires or our moments where, you know, our brains aren't processing things correctly. And what I mean by that is, you know, that misfire. We come from a, so told that, you know, we come from a creative source of love, you know, and love is everything. I mean, look around you.
I find that what you and Maggie do is you have, because of your own limitations, you respect and appreciate each other for what limitations you have and the strength and fortitude you have to get past it.
And that's right. I mean, recently, I mean, Maggie and I, we go to, for better lack of terms, couples counseling, I guess. And what's unique about it is that, you know, we started doing it about 2-3 months ago, and today the facilitator had expressed a great difference in Maggie, the way she had presented herself as well as how she spoke during the session, as instead of this, you know, hurt, you know, wounded little, you know, woe is me type, it was more of a, hey, you know what, I get this. I recognize where we needed improvement, and we both took those action steps to improve it. And I think one of the things that helped unify us is that, one of the challenges that I recently had endured had actually brought us together. It redirected our focus from the trivial things, the meaningless things, to something that we love even more, which was to feel good about not only ourselves, but the people that, you know, we were, you know, in a TBI group with. And bring this to circle, it's important to have that understanding with the people that you surround yourselves with, because if they're going to be, I put a quote out there on my Facebook wall last week, said, if the people around you refuse to change their perception of you, will you ever improve in their eyes? And that goes true with family. Just because they're your family if they, you know, they can choose to see you however they want. If they want to see you as a crazy person or, oh, whatever, that's their choice. My biological father, through misunderstanding on his part, has, you know, disconnect, or no, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, just taking a step back. And while my... Go ahead.
I was going to say, I totally understand that concept of family who just doesn't get it.
Uh-huh.
They just walks away. They
right.
see that the body is healed. I've had that same experience. The body is healed. So they don't worry about you anymore. And I was left here in a house I didn't know, didn't recognize, didn't know anybody, had no way to get around. And I was left here 45 minutes away from family, who's supposed to love me. I'm the baby of the family, and no one ever came. I had not seen any of them in over a year.
Yeah, yeah. When I was laid up for 6 months, I mean, granted, I was in San Diego, but my sister was a couple hours away. Nobody came to visit me. None of my family did. It was just kind of like, oh, you look fine. You know, a little banged up, bruised up. I don't think my Tamara took any pictures of me and sent them out, but, you know, so nobody really understood the severity of the injuries because no pictures were taken. I mean, we go to, you know, TDI conferences and see people who are speakers, keynote speakers, sharing their story. One of the things that they have is pictures of, you know, what happened to them so that they can give people a visual of the severity, you know, that brain injury, you know, sure, I look normal now, but this is what I look like for, you know, a few months after a coma or enduring traumatic amnesia. Like I had sustained 4 or 5 days of it. So, but during that time, Al, apparently, according to people that were around me, said I was interactive. But I have no cognitive memory of it. You know, just because we look normal, you know, what may not have any physical defects, you know, it's, what is it? It's what's on the inside that counts? You
yeah,
know,
and that's, and you know what's amazing? I find this totally amazing is people that we call normies that are friends or family that I've known for years and years now see that my timeline is filled with nothing but stuff about people with brain injury and being a survivor and my own stories and pictures that show inspiration towards getting past and further on and pushing
mm-hmm.
forward. And all of a sudden, they're all posting. And they're sharing stuff with me that is about brain injury or encouragement or spirit. And it's like all these people are relating and are starting to connect.
That's a great sign. I mean, I've said it before and I'll say it again. Life is just reflecting what we are projecting. And if what we're seeing is not what we're enjoying, that means that we're supposed to be thinking something different or better. We're given clues all the time, and there's plenty of traumatic brain injury thrivers out there now. You know, on Facebook, there are several groups that I'm personally connected to: the TBI Network, My TBI Life. These are all, and I know. Jen, she posts mad on all sorts of different inside the brain injury, online support for brain injury, TBI and ADIs. You know, there's so many places out there nowadays in the social networking area where you can get information at the very least. So I would encourage folks out there, but, you know, take it with a grain of salt. You know, everything, not everything that you see out there may necessarily be accurate, especially when it comes to services for folks with TBIs. But nonetheless, you know, that's why I say take it with a grain of salt. Do you have any questions?
Well, I think that if the people that do not have, I've never had a brain injury, or don't know anything about it and have never had it or experienced it, I think those are the people that need to get the information more so
right.
than we do, even so.
And that's why I know Craig Cecilia and I, we've been working on the National TBI Survivor Network Board of Directors and taking this to a national level and, you know, getting representation throughout the nation, you know, and that's the one of the key factors of creating a organization on a national level is, you know, that these people are scattered throughout the demographic, so it's not just one set area. And I think having that presence.
Go ahead.
I was just saying, having that presence is going to be important. You used a term there a few minutes ago, normie, for venturing to say normal people or people prior to their traumatic brain injuries.
Yeah. I've heard that used before, and I know it's probably a derogatory term, but it's just something I've learned. That's all.
Well, I like that. Thanks so much for sharing that, Jen. So, hey, I'm going to bring on another caller here. Tonight we're talking about love after a traumatic brain injury, your interpretation of what love was, as well as the, you know, your evolution of that interpretation since your traumatic brain injury. Want to invite folks to call in at 424-243-9540 and thank our wonderful sponsor, Gordon Johnson with TBILaw.com for being a sponsor here tonight. I'm going to bring on somebody here calling in from the 302 area code. Welcome to WTF with your host, Kevin Phillips. Who am I speaking with tonight?
Hey, Kevin. It's Sarah.
Hello there, Sarah. And how are you doing tonight?
I'm just getting over a cold. I was actually in Seattle last weekend, and I caught a cold and brought it back with me to Delaware.
Oh, okay. Well, good to go.
you guys said a couple of things that were a key point about love and perception and things like that. And I realized after the accident, I have a greater appreciation and for the love of the people in my life. And I think it's also because there's a select few people in my life, pretty much just my mom. After the accident, some of you know, my fiance was killed. His family were around for basically about a year, and then I guess it just got too hard for them. And I can't, you know, I was kind of mad and things like that at the beginning, like, you know, how can you leave me, blah, 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 you know, all those things. And I got over it and understood that was just their way of dealing with it. And it was just, it was too hard to be around me without their son or without their, you know, brother and things like that, because anytime they saw me, he was always with me since I would go see his family. So, and I, when I realized that was, you know, their time to mourn and their way of grieving, it took a lot of weight off my shoulders because I kind of blamed myself. You know, it was that survivor's guilt. It was, you know, basically I would do that for like the first good couple years. I was just, you know, I didn't have a pity party, but it was more like, you know what, everybody hates me. It's my fault. You know, why am I here? I should have not been here. He had a lot more things going for him in his life. He had a son, you know, all this stuff. I was just making excuses. Well, now, you know, it's been almost, you know, 6 years, and I'm just, in the last couple years, my mentality has been changing, and I, you know, even strangers that I meet, like, I'm thankful for people in my life. Like, you know, the trash man, I'll be going down, and he does something extra and just brings my trash can up, and I'm like, thank you very much. I appreciate that. You know, or my postal lady, it was really hot out last year, and come to find out, you know, their little cars or whatever aren't air-conditioned. They have little fans. They don't even have radios in their trucks. I went out there with a bottle of ice cold water. I'm like, if you ever need anything, ring my doorbell on your stop and let me know. And I gave her some water. And over the holiday in Christmas time, I brought out some banana bread my mom made for her. And it's just, you know, you gotta appreciate the people in your life, from the trash man to, you know, your wife or your significant other, to your children, to your teachers, to whomever has made an impact in your life for the positive. Appreciate that person on whatever level that you can.
I fully agree. I think that's best said in a single word called gratitude.
Yes.
Gratitude, as we all know, is the mother of all virtues. So, you know, gratitude expressed as, you know, energy, you shared an esoteric axiom on former show or prior shows, energy flows where attention goes. And so if we're expressing gratitude to the universe for, hey, whatever the experience, regardless of how others might define it, if I can express gratitude for that experience, you know, what is the universe going to reflect back or give back to me? Well, thank you very much. You like that? Try this, you know? And, you know, it just, there's nothing, one of the things that I've noticed since my TBI is that everything that I've given my attention to has come to fruition. One of the key things that I've been working on is being able to recount my dreams. Last week's show, I shared that I had a dream that I was actually able to recount in full detail. Subsequently, while I know I've had dreams, I've only been able to recount partial details of them. But bringing that to full circle with the tonight's topic. With love after a TBI, I mean, it's through this evolution process of gaining a greater understanding of things that, I mean, it's like, had you not gone through that automobile incident, we certainly wouldn't be having this conversation this evening. So I want to thank you I appreciate you taking the steps that you have, despite the obstacles that, you know, others may have put before you, and sharing that, Sarah.
Well, I just like that your topic is like this, because I think sometimes a lot of the topics, I mean, I can connect with pretty much anything that anybody says, because we all have that commonality together, which is awesome. It's like I said it before, it's like a secret society that only other survivors or thrivers can understand. And, you know, I think a lot of people, at least some of the people that I've met going to support groups, it's hard for them to have that other perspective, you know, of, you know, how is that person today, instead of just like, oh, me, and focusing on, you know, how bad you've had it today, you know, focus on that other person. Like, you see, like, I mean, I'll use this as a simple example as, like, road rage. You know, that person's not mad at you. They're mad because of what happened at work or what happened, you know, the fight with their wife, but it's overflowing into them driving in the traffic because they haven't dealt with the anger. They haven't dealt with the real issue, so it's going to keep snowballing until something, you know, bad could happen. So instead of, you know, taking everybody's stuff onto you, you know, just come at it with a clear head and a clear mind. If that's, you know, kind of, if you have to get away for a minute and just zone out for a second into music or whatever is your solace for the moment, just or meditation or anything, grab onto that to give you that grounded sense. Because if you go into a situation passionate or you go into a situation upset or angry or whatever, you know, it's just not going to be the most positive thing you can have. So take time for yourself and just take a step back, because when you come at it with a clear mind, your perception can be a little bit different. So I think a lot of people, you know, need to look at themselves in situations, too, instead of, you know, how bad my life was, how bad things have happened to me. It's like, you know what? There's 1,000 or millions of people out there that had it worse than me. I am thankful for the breath that I get to take in my lungs every day. I am thankful for the beautiful skies and, you know, the way I get to see the world now. I mean, I was a photographer before, but now, you know, my photography has kind of blossomed more because I can focus into it more, and that's my solace. That's my time to myself. That's what, you know, my de-stress place that I need to go to, you know, to just be one with the world kind of thing. And it's just, if people would figure out themselves a lot of time, not even brain-injured people, you know, regular, just everybody, it doesn't matter what you are, people need to look at themselves as an individual to figure out what they need to improve upon, so when they do, you can become a better person. And that's what I'm trying to do. You know, bad stuff happened to me, you know, it's just life. You suck it up. You go on, because what else, what other choice do I have? I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give up on myself. I'm not going to give up on the potential I have to do something great in this world. And my fiance was such a good man that if I, you know, did that, that would be just basically his death in vain, you know, and I want him to be able to live on through me and be proud of who I am. You know, I only have to answer to God and him, basically, and my own, you know, morals and my own ethics and things like that. So that holds me accountable to try to be the best person I can be every day. And if it's a challenge that day, it's fine. I don't mind. Bring it on. I like the challenges. I can just overcome them more.
Right. I think, you know, since my TBI, it's kind of freed me of this, you know, I don't know, perception of a lot of things. You know, I'm grateful that, you know, I was involved in this skydiving incident, and I use the term incident because we don't live in a, really live in a universe of accidents, because if that's true, considering the fact, you know, if there is such a thing as an accident, which we have defined as something that we shouldn't have occurred, well, if it shouldn't have occurred, why did it? Obviously, the creative source, albeit regardless of your name or terminology, allowed it to occur. It happened for a reason. Our failure to understand the reasoning behind it is not anybody's fault except our own. So I want to remind folks, as you know, with the TBI, you know, hey, really look at it as an opportunity to recreate your life. I mean, there's every day. You know, Jen had shared that she, after her TBI, was kind of like a, felt like a little kid and just had that innocence. And, you know, especially for women, you know, having that innocence could, you know, be viewed negatively. And while from your perception, there's nothing wrong with just having that innocence. I mean, that's how we came into this world. We're love. That's what we're supposed to project. And for anybody to, you know, project anything else, while it's certainly their choice, it's like you said, you got to ask why. Why do that when you can feel so much better doing this type thing? I had, while you were sharing there, Sarah, I talked about emotion and expressed. Some thought came to mind. I said, emotion expressed is best served in moderation. I mean, love. I mean, we can give love, but, you know, eventually, as much as we enjoy that feeling of emotion about love, you know, there's going to be times where we may not feel loved. Why? WTF, where's the focus? You know, we may not, in those times of grief, whether it be a loss of a relationship or a family member, or and I use the term death loosely, because what really occurs is a transition. Because while, you know, we talk about you know, people transitioning, like my uncle committed suicide when I was about 20 years old, I think. And while that is some might view that as a terrible and tragic thing, hey, that was his choice. That's the way he decided to move out. I don't hold him accountable, no fault on his own, nor anybody else in his life. It was just one of those things that, hey, it's part of this thing called life. Some people choose that way, that path. Others choose differently. I've been down that path. I chose better, like you said. You know, your fiancé's transition inspired you to become something better and continue his legacy as through your efforts of learning how to create that functional life with a TBI. So I commend you, Sarah, for doing that. And we need more people like you.
I appreciate it. I'm trying to make my little dent in the world, and it's just, you know, I feel like I kind of hitched my wagon to the Brain Injury Association out here in Delaware, and they kind of threw me under the bus. So mm-hmm. Now I'm trying to figure out, you know, I'm trying to learn off of you guys and see what you're doing in other states, because I need to figure out, you know, my own thing and kind of let some stuff go and get Delaware together, because we're only the second smallest state in the entire country, and I know there's a lot more survivors out there that just come to, like, our support groups once a month, and it's just, like, I'm trying to find out how to reach them, because the Brain Injury Association of here, of Delaware, are just not living up to its mission statement, and it just, I'm trying to hold people accountable, and they'd rather just brush everything under the rug, and it's frustrating, and you guys have such a great thing out in the West Coast.
You are not alone, dear. I mean, things like that happen all the time. Remember, nothing's new, just new to you. Okay?
Yeah.
So when we have these occurrences, you know, it's not, we can certainly sit and bitch, moan, groan at all and perpetuate it. Or, and this is why I do show radio shows, is to remind people, hey, stop that. Stop perpetuating what we don't want. Let's perpetuate what we do desire. Because even when you look at the words, undesired, 75% of it is still desired. So, you know, we had a group out here that, you know, rather than admit their fault, you know, tried to take steps to, you know, brush it under the rug. And as a result of it, they're now being full-on investigated by, you know, officials beyond their comprehension. And as a result, you know, everything's going to work out to their benefit. It's just, you know, it's not going to be the same way they thought it would be. And I feel fortunate enough to be, you know, part of that and be willing to provide the support that, you know, hey, people need. And so I appreciate you joining the BIA out there in Delaware and spreading the, increasing the awareness out there. I mean, we're certainly one of the unique things in the Marine Corps. You know, once a Marine, always a Marine. And no matter where I go, if I bump into another person, male or female, if they share that they were a Marine, we're like instant brothers and family. And that's kind of the unique thing about the TBI network now is finding that connection. Oh, you have a brain injury? And learning about each other's and the experiences that we've had. And helping one another come to that greater understanding. And so I really commend both Jennifer and Sarah for calling in tonight and Sharon. It's been a topic for this evening was love after a TBI. And Sarah, thank you so much for calling in. I always appreciate you. I think you called in a couple times before, right? Well, thank you once again for taking the time to listen and share your thoughts on this. Any last words you'd like to share with our listeners?
No, I know that basically it's, you know, we all have our ups and downs, but if we can just touch one person's life by just sharing our story and making their life a little bit easier, that's what gives me solace and gives me happiness, if I can make one person not have to go through a hard day like I did.
Well, very cool. That is true. You know, talking with my daughter earlier in regards to her school, you know, it's like she has six teachers, six classes every day. And, well, some of the classes she's not fond of, it's, you know, kind of the teacher. Well, I increased her awareness or her understanding of her teacher's perception or a teacher's perception, especially in today's society. We were watching a TV show, was it The Middle? There was a scene where they showed the oldest son, who's a senior in high school, in his class. And the classroom was held four rows across by four rows deep. Well, do the math, that's 16 students. And I paused it and I turned to my daughter and I asked her, I said, what's wrong with this picture? And she's like, there's not enough students. And I said, yeah, there's what, about twice that? And she's like, yeah. And so I turned to Maggie, and she remembers this from even her college era teaching. She did initially when she started teaching ASL, sign language. You know, classes didn't exceed much more than about 20. But towards the end of her tenure, if you will, at the university, she'd have 30 students in a class. And it can be overwhelming. Now, with my daughter, you know, she's got six teachers and six classes, so gee whiz. Imagine those teachers have six classes or five classes with 30 students. That's 150 students. The point of that is learning to increase our perceptions and not be so judgmental on the things that we profess to love, be it school, photography, our friends, our family, or anything else. Learning to increase our understanding is kind of what I want to bring this episode to a close with. is understanding. We get what we give, whether it be fear or jealousy or happiness or joy or forgiveness. But the one thing that I want to encourage listeners to always remember to give, no matter where you're at, no matter what you do, we can project love. We can say, I'm sorry, when we really mean to apologize. We use statements like, I love you, but I also hate your cooking, in the same breath. But, you know, understanding the meanings that we give to the words we use predominantly in thought, because everything that we see and everything that we experience was first a thought. So if we can have these thoughts, the amount of attention that we give these thoughts will ultimately bring them to fruition. Those thoughts of, is my family going to leave me, or my wife or my spouse going to depart from me now that I have a TBI? Energy flows, or understanding energy flows where attention goes, I can most assuredly say, speaking from personal experience, yes. But I also can testify that when you put your gratitude, express gratitude out there, you will get back more reasons to be grateful for. When I drive down the road, I thank every vehicle that passes by me. I know it's an illusion to a certain extent. For those listeners that are caught that, you know, laugh about it. But I'm grateful for every vehicle that passes me, even if they're on the other side of the roadway, or that I pass them, or I'm able to pass. I thank them because, well, they weren't in my way. I thank them because I didn't have to change lanes. And by expressing that gratitude, wonderfully, the universe returns that to me and continues to project or provide that for me. So I'm able to get from point A to point B a lot faster without experiencing things like road rage that I used to, even shortly after my brain injury. And as my daughter is sitting here giggling, I'm not sure if she's recounting just past experiences or something recent that I seem to have forgotten. But nonetheless, I've come to an understanding that, you know, projecting love is a lot more fun than projecting any other emotion that we can choose to experience. And I want to remind folks, you know, listeners, TBI Thriver, or just somebody wanting to learn about traumatic brain injuries, we have the ability to become something better. And when we see people respond what we might define as inappropriate, that's really an opportunity to improve something, if not at the very least their perception of themselves. And by offering that that caring statement, like, are you okay? I can help you with, you look like you need a hug, or come here, give me a hug. You know, my hugs, they last for how long, Ashley? 20 seconds. Minimum of 20 seconds. Otherwise, it's just a brief embrace. So, listeners, I want to encourage you, you know, this week, for the next week, you know, when you come across people, express that gratitude that you have for the experience of meeting with them or seeing them. If you see that beautiful sunrise or sunset, or just picture perfect moment in your day, we always have a picture perfect moment in our day. Looking for it and understanding it, I want to encourage you to look for it this week. And join us next week on WTF as Brain Injury Radio. We're going to be talking about some more great topics here. I'm going to get a lineup shared out, and I want to appreciate everybody that called in tonight, Jen and Sarah, and also Maggie for doing a great job on the chat room here, as well as our wonderful sponsor, Gordon Johnson, for TBILaw.com. Without his financial support, we would not be able to continue the show. And so I want to thank him very much and encourage you listeners to remember, just because you get a TBI, you have two ways. Continue to be, or take it as an opportunity to be inspirational. So take care, have a fantastic week, and Semper Fi.